on SOFpodcast.com, iTunes, and on Square One Football Radio. This is The Sound of Football.
Hello, and welcome to The Noise of Soccer.
You are trampling over our history by changing our name, and you haven't even consulted us. This is the first we've heard of it, listening.
No. Hear me out. This is going to take the podcast to new places. It's going to really reboot us. It's going to give us energy, and you know, now we're going to be someone that people are going to reckon with.
Why are we all having to sit here in red shirts?
Because we look better in red, and red is for winners.
What's that dragon doing over there? Or is that just me?
This week we are talking about what's in a name. How important is it that the name of a club is entirely immutable? And is it immutable? Can we ever change the name of a club and still see it in the same way? Of course, you know, we wouldn't change the name of The Sound of Football. It's far too good a name to get rid of.
And anyway. Seem to like it. So.
Exactly, yeah. And also as well, the noise of soccer is just stupid, isn't it?
You say that, but I'll guarantee that within the year there will be a noise of soccer. In fact, if one of us...
A tribute band. A tribute podcast. He hasn't got my accent right, so I can't stand him.
Please, listeners, we beg you, please, just one tribute podcast. I did always wonder, so now I'm thinking about it, maybe it's something that probably, maybe the other fella, you know, the guy who used to do this, maybe one day he'll set up a splinter podcast and call it The Noise of Soccer.
Well, I always thought it's good, like Chris Oakley's real sound. be like one of those Bucks Fizz.
Yes, indeed, yes, or when Pete Best launched an album called Best of the Beatles, which really wasn't very true.
But hey, come on, you've got to admire the sheer
desire to make money. Yes, I admire that.
He just lost the biggest lottery ticket win ever, hadn't he? You know,
yeah, I did feel enough. I felt like a right old plank, poor guy. Yeah. But there it is, you know. You make these choices in life.
Well, he didn't. They kicked him out, didn't they?
No, did they actually kick him out?
He was sacked.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. We know someone much better. Ringo Starr!
Like Ringo. Well, Ringo was... I'm sorry, this is not football. But Ringo,
the sound of
Ringo
the
was a good drummer, though. I think Ringo was a good drummer. A bit of a fallacy.
I don't know why. Yeah.
This is what our reboot has done, you see. It's re-energised us. We're
down with the kids, talking about 50-year-old music.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, we'll gloss over that. Because apart from yours, they're so hard on copyright that we can't drop in 50s tracks into the podcast, Beatles tracks into the podcast, because we'll get sued
by
whoever owns the Beatles these days. Anyway, so names then, not football clubs.
Yes. I mean, they used to change all the time, didn't they? You know, back in days of yore.
Yeah, when football was finding its identity and its culture.
Mm. Yes, and their homes a lot of the time.
Yes, yeah. So Arsenal.
Yes.
How long were Arsenal in Woolwich?
They were in Woolwich for 27 years.
Wow. Yeah.
Yes.
It's a long time.
1886 they were formed, and in 1913 they moved to North
London.
It's
quite a distance to move, though, wasn't it?
Well, especially back then when not a lot of people used public transport as well. So it was pretty much taking everything away. But then again, people didn't really identify with clubs back then. It was, you just turned up to whatever match was local. Hmm. I remember my grandfather used to say, he lived in North London, but he said, you know, he'd go and see Arsenal one week and he'd go and see Chelsea the next, because you just went and
go and
watched
football.
Yeah. Football.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, quite common then, when Charlton and then afterwards Wimbledon shared their ground at Selhurst Park when Palace were away, I would often take myself down to Selhurst Park to watch Charlton. Mm-hmm. And then later Wimbledon. I can't believe I'm the only Palace fan who lived locally, who didn't do that, frankly. Nothing wrong with it, in my opinion.
The whole thing about partisan support was a later invention, and probably came about. Well, it's probably led to the fact that names change so little these days.
Yeah,
because
we've got our teams now. And they're important to us, our clubs. And so everything about them is important. So kit changes is always important, because every time a kit manufacturer comes in and makes changes, they grow, not just because of the money, but also because of, you know, it tends to monkey with the tradition a little bit. But fundamentally, of course, names, massive part of maintaining that tradition and that connection that the community has with its club.
But we do live in a modern world, and of course the products that we've grown up with sometimes suddenly have a reboot, and they'll change. I mean, like when we were nippers, we'd think our day was complete by someone buying us a marathon bar, but now, no.
Marathon. Sorry.
It's very chocolatey, it's very noddy, and it fills you right up.
I hated those adverts. I'm glad they changed to Snickers.
Yes.
Yeah, but obviously football clubs aren't chocolate bars.
No, they're not.
And they're not necessarily consumable products in the way that we understand.
Well, they are brands, though, aren't they? I don't think
they fit into the traditional idea of a brand, a geographic first and foremost, aren't they?
Well, is that true, though? Because if you're saying it's geographic, then yes, okay, you've got to play it at one point. But are you saying, right, okay, we're from Birmingham, or we're from Newcastle, and you identify with us, you are from this town? I mean, like, you know, obviously clubs like Newcastle and Liverpool have probably cashed in on the identity of the cities themselves, haven't they? But is that necessarily a good thing?
It's the history we're talking about here.
It's fine if you do come from a city like Liverpool, but what if your team doesn't come from a city like that? What if your team comes from Hull?
For what? Just plucking that out.
Just plucking a name out of the head.
I'm sure that they were talking about changing the name.
May have come up once or twice. I should stress that although I've never been to Hull, everyone I know who has says that it is a very nice place, and that people are very mean to say nasty things about it, because actually it's
an amazing bridge.
As great bridge, fantastic university, and a very good quality of life in Hull, by all accounts. But perhaps I'm digressing there. But yes, of course, you know, this chappy Asim Alam, who is the owner of Hull City Football Club, intends to go through with his plan to rename the club as, is it Hull City Tigers or Hull Tigers? Is he dropping the city?
I'll just refer to my notes. He's ditching the city and Association Football Club.
Right, okay, all right. So that's quite
a big
step.
That's been refused by the Premier League, I think.
Yes, but I think he still plans to go ahead and do it, and I'm pretty certain that if Hull stay up, that if the owner is absolutely adamant that this is going to do that, then I don't think the Premier League can do a great deal to stop him. Premier League is an association of club chairmen and club owners, run by a chief executive and with a bunch of administrators and PRs looking after it. They're not like the Football Association. And I doubt the Football Association have got the slightest issue with renaming clubs, because there is a precedent there with clubs that go out of business and then are reformed, and they have to be renamed. Yeah, otherwise, they're not allowed to play football. So AFC Wimbledon, although they didn't go out of business, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Aldershot and Darlington, most recently.
What did Glasgow Rangers change their name?
Was this following
the Scottish law, don't they? So that'd be a
different situation. Yeah, and Scottish FA obviously might do things differently, but I have a feeling that they did change their name.
It's a business rule, isn't it? It's got something to do with you coming out of
administration without a CVA or something like that, not settling your debts, and then not just simply being able to reset up shop under exactly the same business name, and trading off that name when you've got people who haven't got money. And it's something that football supporters find extremely difficult to accept, that football clubs have to own when they owe money. And they don't pay that money off for whatever reason, for whatever the justification is, that they can't just close down and reopen, you know, as the same club, you know, because it's not terribly polite to the people that you owe the money to, more than anything else, you know. So yes, those are the circumstances. But the whole thing is different. This is there's nothing necessarily wrong with this club. It's solvent, largely down to the owner, and it's in the Premier League. Despite what I've said in the past, there's no reason to assume why they can't make a good fist of it and stay in the Premier League. But he's obviously decided that the nickname Tigers will have some broader appeal beyond the city of Hull. I can only assume that that's, you know, one of the big reasons why.
It's history again, though, isn't it? Because of the negative connotations that Hull dreams up in some people's minds for whatever reason, is the same reason that he wants to change it. The same reason that, for example, Liverpool would want to hold on to theirs.
Exactly.
You know, you talk about branding. It's exactly what that is. It's a rebranding exercise to make Hull appear cooler than the name suggests.
But Tigers is not cool, though, is it? Tigers are cool, but the name Tigers applied to a sporting club is a bit lame, isn't it? It's really? A bit sort of like, you know...
Better than Dolphins.
Mid-90s basketball.
It's a bit Roy the Rovers, isn't it?
Yeah. It sounds like you just have a fictional name attached to it.
Yeah.
Like Elfchester or something.
Melchester Tigers,
Mingdonville Tigers.
I'm going to go there.
We're all off to Mingdonville.
We got them away in the FA Cup.
Well, I'm not. I'm going to go to Hull and watch the Tigers. I think it's a pretty cool name.
Isn't cool Tigers cat? Also a rugby team or something like that?
Leicester.
That's the Leicester Tigers, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, they're always doing it in rugby union because they've got absolutely no sense of tradition in rugby union.
Well, no. They can't afford to.
No, they don't. I mean, no, I'm sorry, but when it comes to club names, Chief... They don't. They're always changing their names. But Newcastle changed their name to the Falcons.
Mm.
Leicester changed their name to the Tigers. Need I go on?
Please do.
We're running out of time.
The thing is here as well, these names are just ones that they've just made up, haven't they? They just think, well, they sound pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, how do you know? There's a lot of Falcons in the North East, and there's a lot of Tigers in Leicestershire. Have you ever been to either of those places?
To Cambridgeshire.
Is that how Newcastle got the coal out of the mines? They sent Falcons down
there. Yeah, used to dive bomb in there and just crack the ceiling.
Instead of canaries in a cage, they had Falcons, didn't they?
They had a big Falcon arm on.
And we all know that before Gary Lineker advertised Walker's Crisps, which hail from Leicester, if for international listeners, that in fact it was a cartoon tiger who advertised them. That's not right. No.
That was
weak,
isn't
it? Yeah. That was weak.
Oh, not what you picked.
Yeah. They're crispy. No, that wasn't it at all.
They're the same kind of shape, but they're a bit smaller, really. They come in a bigger box. In fact, they come in a box. Anyway.
So
what do we do? Is it a good thing or is it a bad thing, the Hull City Tigers?
Well, it's not my club, is it?
No, I think, I think that it's a good thing if everybody, if there's a consensus amongst the fans that it's a good thing.
If you look at the reasons, if you look at the reason why he's doing it, I mean, you were saying before this that he's lived there since the late 60s.
Yes.
So he's not just come in and suddenly decided he's going to change everything around and not know anything about the background of the area or the club.
He's not Vincent Tan.
No.
No. He's been there since 1968. He went to university there. He's a multimillionaire and he employs many people in the city of Hull. He knows that place very, very well.
He gets a few more points from me on that score because of that.
Yeah. I mean, I still think what he's doing is wrong, but at the same time, yes, as Graham says, it's not my club. So I don't really know whether I feel entirely justified in just simply dismissing it or saying that it's, you know, a bad thing or a good thing.
Yeah.
I think that the people of Hull, if they're happy with it...
Yeah, and the fact that he's been cutting checks... has helped them get to the Premier League as well.
And he bought them out and without them going into administration, which presumably means that all the people who were owed money by Hull were paid. So I reckon this guy's got a fair amount in the bank in terms of, you know, sort of morality credit. So I don't know. I don't know. I mean, maybe there's something in it.
But it's, you know, like, it doesn't sit well. But
it's not like Mike Ashley did with St James's Park, where he took, you know, a really famous name and then stuck whatever the name of his company is on it. So, you know, he's still changing it to something that's got a connotation with the club. Mm.
He's not naming it the club after his company. Or worse still, naming it after Red Bull.
No, which is what happened in Salzburg, when Austria Salzburg were renamed Red Bull Salzburg and had their colours changed and everything. And to the extent where a significant portion of their fans left and formed a Phoenix club called Austria Salzburg, who play, you know, in Salzburg, obviously. And Red Bull Salzburg are the pariahs of European football, and everybody dances when they fail to make it into the Champions League, as they did this year. And so, you know, and I mean, but that's a disgrace. That's just corporate imperialism. That's a hideous thing to do to a football club.
Yeah,
I don't think this is quite the same with Hull.
No, it's not the same at all, is it?
The Cardiff thing is worse.
Cardiff thing is closer
to Salzburg than Hull is, I think.
Yes.
But that's a he's changing it for almost, you could say, superstitious reasons. You know, his culture is, you know, Red's very, very lucky, and, you know, the dragon thing, you know, you can't miss with that because they're in Wales. But of course he's got an interest there because his culture, you know, that's the kind of thing they do. So he's not,
but if you've got again, that, he's not, why he's didn't not, he buy Wrexham? I mean, you know, they play in Red, don't they?
Yeah, they haven't got that swanky new stadium there, have they? The racecourse grounds are a lovely little ground, but it is little, you know. And you know, lovely doesn't get you very far.
No,
you know, as most people will tell you. I think that the odd thing about Cardiff is that, again, I mean, we have listeners who are Cardiff supporters, or were, I should say. And feel very strongly about this, but it is quite evident that there are a significant number of Cardiff fans who don't feel as strongly about this.
Who feel, I know, perhaps, one, but he's colourblind, so
right. Okay. Well, he doesn't need so for him it's less important.
Yeah.
But still, in all, I mean, the prospect, although it hasn't, I should stress, this hasn't happened.
Yes.
The prospect of perhaps them being renamed as the Dragons or the Cardiff Dragons, no. Unless he's, you know, has hearing impediments as well, that presumably isn't such an issue.
No.
It's still quite an issue for your friend.
Yes, that would be an issue.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I would still argue that there's a significant portion of the Cardiff fans who turn up at the match, the games now, and probably don't think that bad about it. Probably see Vincent Tan as being the club's saviour, and if he wants to make some tweaks to the club's identity, then what difference does it make?
Yeah, I mean, because there's always the you know, they're caught between their history and somebody with a lot of money who says, look, I can bring some good players in here and bring you some success.
Yeah.
So, it, you know, you tend to start losing your loyalties then.
It's a tough one to know, you know, because, I mean, we all follow football clubs for various reasons, but presumably one of the big reasons why we follow them is because we want them to win.
Mm.
And so if somebody can come along and say, look, I'm going to do this, or at least I'm going to give you lots and lots of money in order to do this, and what we would like to do is we would like to make some changes. So we'd like to change the badge, we'd like to change the colour of your shirts, and we'd like to change the name of your club. Mm. How do you feel about it? You still get to go to the same stadium, and only this time your team wins football matches as opposed to loses them. How do you feel about that? And I reckon a lot of people would go for that. I'm not sure how I'd feel.
Falsely impacted, indeed.
Yeah, yes. I mean, we see it a lot, though, in clubs, but not with something as permanent. I suppose that's it, really. I suppose the fact that players come and go, so do managers, and so do owners. But where you play, the colours you play in, and the name of your club are seen as somehow permanent.
Universal, eternal.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think there is that element to it. And if you take one of those things or any of those things away,
then
all of a sudden you lose identity with your
but
club.
What does that actually,
or your identity is questioned.
But what does that actually mean?
Well, it doesn't mean anything because what it does is it makes you analyse. It can make you analyse what the whole thing about supporting a club is about.
Why do we do this?
Yeah, why do we put ourselves through this?
Why do we put ourselves through this?
Why do we have to put up with the guy who sat behind us, like moaning all the time? It's really, I mean, like it's sort of like, you know, pulling back the curtain and seeing the Wizard of Oz like tweaking with the dials, yeah. And sort of thinking, well, actually, I don't know.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah. Yes, I mean, because, I mean, to return to Salzburg, I mean, presumably, I mean, I don't know, I mean, presumably at some point the Red Bull, you know, energy drink concern will morph into something else. What happens then? Or maybe even its dynasty will die, or it will go off in an entirely different branding and marketing direction and do something completely yeah. different. I mean, what happens to that club when or if Salzburg leaves? Because, I mean, we always imagine, and let's assume that football is eternal, that it goes on forever, and the last thing that mankind ever does, mankind ever does, before it finally pops it, is play a game of football. What? But, you know, corporations don't. Like dynasties, they rise and they fall. Mm. You know, Red Bull surely won't be with us for throughout our civilization. So what happens to that club when it dies? Mm. I guess that, when you think of it in those terms,
the next one.
Yeah, well, this is it. And that seems a bit crap, doesn't it, really? Well, I suppose it depends who it is.
Yeah,
and then, so if it becomes, yeah. You know, Sound of Football Salzburg, in which case then it'll be great.
Yeah.
Because our
Noise of Soccer.
Noise of Soccer. Because our
Noise of Soccer
our colour scheme is violet and that would go nicely. Mm.
Yeah.
So yeah. All right. You heard it here first.
Yeah, I think that's it. The master plan of our European domination there.
It's just taken another step forward.
It certainly has. Talking about the change of names of grounds and everything, it's obviously when Sunderland moved away from Roker Park, popular nickname, the Rokerites, went with it, didn't it? It seemed that wasn't going to be a name that they could possibly have anymore, considering they weren't at Roker Park anymore.
Yeah, it suddenly became the Black Cats, but that was a nickname that was associated with them.
Yeah,
anyway.
So it's an old nickname that has been restored, if you like, when they moved to the stadium.
It was some kind of gun battery or something on the wheel.
Right.
Called Black Cat. But yeah, it did die death, and also I suppose they didn't change the name of the ground, but they came up with quite a novel name for the new ground. So there was a lot of reinvention happening at that time anyway.
Because Palace as well had an official nickname change, didn't they, in the early 70s?
Yeah, Malcolm Allison changed the name from the Glaziers.
Which had meaning,
because obviously Crystal Palace, to the Eagles after Benfica. He changed the kit to mimic Barcelona, and he changed the nickname to mimic Benfica, which is an interesting tie-up that our two clubs have, because of course the Stadium of Light is named after the Estadio de Luz, which is Benfica's ground.
Yeah.
So
it all binds together.
It all binds together, listeners.
It's all
incestuous, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, these things, and I don't know, I wasn't around when it happened, well, it was, but I was very tiny, and I don't remember whether or not there was any brouhaha. My old man occasionally goes on about how, oh, you should never have changed the name, but I don't think that he cares that much, and I never get the impression that it's that big of a deal, and certainly the fans have embraced it. But again, you know, that was the late 60s, early 70s.
Maybe this it's a generational thing.
And maybe back then we were still just shaking off the whole post-war austerity thing, just beginning, you know, maybe, you know, these things just maybe didn't feel as important to people then as they do now. And I guess you have to respect that, the culture of soccer has developed and matured, and that these things now matter, whereas perhaps in the past, in the fairly recent past, they didn't matter.
Do you think this is a kind of a resistance to the, the corporatisation of football and football clubs and everything? Because it goes, you know, everything is, it's gone that way, isn't it? From television to the grounds.
It's another line in the sand you draw, isn't it?
There's a political dimension to it as well. And now I would imagine that there will be people that will feel that people who are opposed to name changes or changes, significant changes to football clubs, will regard people who oppose them as being sort of like regressive and anti-progressive. And I don't agree with that at all. I don't think there's anything wrong with having strong ties to your club.
Mm.
But I don't necessarily feel that there should be a universal rule. Again, I think that as long as people are happy, then fine, go ahead. And if the people of Hull are happy, then fair play to them.
Yeah.
I don't know whether or not they are, but, you know, fair play to them, and they should go ahead and do it. I mean, we changed football stadiums. You moved the stadium. Yeah. You moved to stadium.
Yeah, I was glad we moved to stadium.
We haven't moved to stadium, but I have a feeling that we'd like to. We're probably staying, but
we moved to a stadium named after a sponsor.
And
as well.
Clubs sell naming rights as well.
Mm. Evil.
Yeah, naming rights is also something as well. I mean, when we almost Palace almost there was a rumour going around that Palace were going to sell their naming rights to an Asian online betting firm, and there was an uproar. And you know, I can kind of understand that, but. Now, one could argue that naming rights and stadium moves to a degree are the thin end of the wedge, and that, you know, not everything is eternal, and clubs do change, and maybe part of that is name changes as well. But again, I stress the key thing is that you've got to bring the supporters with you.
Yeah.
And if you don't do that,
I think there is... That's a very interesting point, but also you've got to remember as well is what's going on at Hull and what's going on at Cardiff isn't like what's going on at Coventry.
No. No, but I mean, that's just an absolute...
Yeah.
I mean, that's an unspeakable, hideous mismanagement. I mean, that's just...
Yeah.
That's more akin to when Charlton left the Valley to go to Selhurst Park. It's worse, obviously, because Northampton is nowhere near Coventry. Whereas at least, Selhurst Park is a couple
city.
Of train rides away. Yeah. 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 That's just mismanagement. And just an awful situation. I guess what we're talking about are things that happen by design.
Yeah.
But I don't think can tell me that the whole thing at Coventry was by some design, then I don't want to meet that.
I think there are probably some Coventry supporting conspiracy theorists who think it probably is. But yes, it's a horrible situation, but hopefully that we'll get sorted out.
Let's hope that gets resolved, because that's a bad business.
Mm. So, what is our general feeling on name changes then? How would you sum it up then? Do you think it's essentially a bad thing, but it doesn't necessarily have to be a bad thing?
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Yeah? I think if it's by consent and it has got something for the supporters there, so they've got something to reach back to, then that's a good thing, if it's good for them. But I mean, you know, having the Red Bull thing, if that was to happen here, I think that would be a pretty bad thing, because that's a decimation, it's a wiping the slate, isn't it?
It couldn't happen because there are rules stopping it from happening. But I mean, in Germany, there's a club in outside Leipzig, a very small village club outside Leipzig, which was taken over by the Red Bull concern, and they've moved to the big stadium in Leipzig. They're called RB Leipzig because they can't call themselves Red Bull Leipzig because of Bundesliga's, or rather the German FA's rules on naming. And that's a similar thing. And they're being boosted all the way up through the league. They're now in the third tier from having been sort of like right down below. So they had their, but this was a tiny club, a village club. But like it will be like Red Bull buying Whiteleaf and then pumping millions of pounds into them, moving them over to Selhurst Park, and then moving them up through the divisions, up to say League One or Two, and I think we'd agree that would be a very different match day experience than what we're used to at Whiteleaf.
Yes,
that's cup winning, glory hounding, cup team.
Yes,
Whiteleaf. Yeah. I'll get that out eventually.
Mm. Yeah. So, I think we've exhausted this topic, and the clock on the wall is telling us that it's
top trumps time
and time to play some top trumps. So,
oh God.
So that said, we'll bid you farewell for this week, and we'll be back again next week.
Although, what will be called? Who knows?
Goodbye.
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 You can contact us through our website, sofpodcast.com, via Twitter, @soundoffootball, or on facebook.com/soundoffootball.
and welcome to Sound of Football Top Trumps. Jan, how do you think it's going?
Badly.
Badly?
Very, very badly. Yeah, on a scale of bad to bad.
Yeah.
This is about as dark as a place I've been, I think, footballing wise. So, yeah, not happy. Terry?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I've had a good start, but, you know, it's a marathon, not a sprint. Although, in fairness, we've only got a few cars left, so actually, you've only got a few cars left, so perhaps it's more of a sprint than a marathon. Or a Snickers, even.
Yes. Guys, best of luck. Now, on last week's game, the listeners won again. When we put the card out for the vote, it was a three-way tie.
Three-way tie.
For Mario Gomez's stats, who has some quite impressive stats. He has a height of 188, caps of 51, career goals of 198, trophies of 4, and year of birth 1985. In the end, the deciding vote was taken by my wife, and she chose height.
Indeed. So thanks to Wayne Bullen, George Ogier, and Chris Oakley for letting us know. Oakley. Yes, yeah. Right. Yes. Yeah. Chris Oakley for his. Your selections, but yeah, because there was no deciding vote, Mrs. Graham had decided.
Yeah, so height of 188. Terry, what have you got? What have you got?
Well, poor old Jan, eh? I've got Didier Drogba. Didier Drogba, which is a height of 189.
Oh my word! One by one centimeter.
It's always you, isn't it?
Well, hang on, Graham hasn't gone yet.
I've got. Edinson Cavani with a height of 184.
Come on, Jan.
Yaya Touré.
Oh, hang on though. Ooh. He's bluffing.
Yaya Touré. 1.
Yes.
8. 7.
Oh, what a close one.
That was close.
What a very, very tough
time. Battle of the Giants.
I win.
Battle of the Giants.
A stack of quality cards I've got here.
Join us again next week for some more Sound of Football, Top Trumps.
This match is like watching two mums play FIFA, wrote Graham Sibley.